Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasat sapatnan vijigasammano Yasat sapatnan vijig. Could someone help me with that word? Well, thank you. Vijigasammano Yat sat sapatnam vijigitsamano Griheshu navesha yateta purvam Atyeti durga srita urjitarin Chineshu kamam vicharet vipastit Mars, would you like to chant to us? Okay. Anyone else like to chant? Any Matajis like to chant? Any other Matajis? Sat, six, sapatnan, adversaries, vijigi samana, desiring to conquer. So here, Yatsatsapatnan vijiki samano. Anyone who is desiring to conquer the six enemies, which are lust, anger, greed, etc. Anyone desiring to conquer that, these instructions of Brahma are being given. And he is going to say the glories of household life. Now the frame of reference, the context that this is being spoken is that Priyavrata Maharaj, he was a tapasi. We all have been listening to this. And he was performing his very austere devotional service, a complete tyagi, a complete renunciant, having nothing to do with the material world, practically speaking, living alone. He had decided not to adopt or to become the king of the world, and rather he decided to renounce the world, and he allowed his younger brother, whose name was Uttanapada, who is especially famous because of his glorious son, whose name was Dhruva Maharaj. So Uttanapada had taken up the kingship over the world, and Priyavrata had renounced the world. But then when the powerful dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu had ended the lineage of Uttanapada and Dhruva Maharaj had ended, one powerful person, extremely powerful person, was required to rule the world. And Priyavrata, who had renounced the world already, was asked to take up the post by whom? By whom? Swayambhuva Manu. And then, when he was somewhat reluctant to take up this service, because that would mean ruling the world, most materialists would jump at this chance to rule the world because we think that it would mean I would get just what I wanted at any time I wanted, unlimited power, unlimited wealth, unlimited armies, enjoyment. But Priyavrata had asked a very important question. If I surrender and take up this service as you have requested me, my dear father, will this somehow or another, or can this somehow or another get in the way of my spiritual life? My spiritual life is everything for me. Millions of years ago, I have decided to renounce material enjoyment. I have rejected the opportunity that I had to take up the kingship, the rulership of the world, and I have sat on, I think it was Gandhamadana Mountain, and I'm just meditating. My senses are unengaged with the sense objects, and I am meditating on the Supreme Lord. And if I now, as you have requested, take it as my service to rule, can this service get in the way of my spiritual life? This was the question that he asked. I found this question so relevant, so important. So Swayambhuva had called Lord Brahma, even a greater authority, to try to convince a greater authority than himself, to try to convince Priyavrata Maharaj to take up rulership. And here is Lord Brahma, the ending of the verse next to the last verse that Lord Brahma is going to speak to Priyavrata to convince him that now you should take up this service. You should do it. You should renounce renunciation. You should renounce renunciation for service to the Lord. But the level of this verse is spoken on, the one we're hearing today, the level that this verse is spoken on is not on the highest level of an answer, but his answer has been on many levels. Brahma's answer to Priyavrata has been on many levels, and this level is not the highest level, but in the next verse, the highest level will be spoken. The actual level where one is completely safe, regardless of what, how one is serving, because on that level, one takes full shelter of the Supreme Lord. And here they are. Sisi Gonataya Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai, Sisi Krishna Balarama Ki Jai, Sisi Radhashyam Sundara Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki Jai. So, on this level, this verse is being spoken here. Sat sapat nan vijagi samano. One who is desiring to conquer the true adversaries, the true, what's another word for adversary? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Yes, Prabhu. Opponent, yes, thank you. Another word still. Enemy. If one wants to conquer one's enemies, because usually we think our enemies are external to us and they are trying to stop us. Because an enemy we define as someone who is trying to stop us from what we want to do. So if one is serious about one's spiritual life, these enemies are the only enemies, and they are grouped about around the main enemies, as the Advanti Brahman explained. And what is that main enemy, or practically speaking, the only enemy? Please stand up and say it. Oh, even one level more general. Yes, thank you, Prabhu. The mind. The mind. The Avanti Brahmana says there is only one cause of misery. There is only one cause of suffering in this world, and that is my mind. Not that my mind is causing everyone else suffering, but it's causing me suffering. My mind. So yasat sapatnan vijagi samano griheshu, in household life, near vishya, having entered, yateta, must try, purvam, first. So upon entering household of life, one must at first try something, what he's going to describe now. Atyeti, this is for one who is desiring to conquer the actual enemies. Atyeti conquers. Durga Asrita, being in a fortified place. Urjita Arin, very strong enemies. Chineshu, decrease. Kamam, lusty desires. So he's speaking about household life, that the very strong enemies can be conquered if one is Durga Asrita. What does Durga Asrita mean? Yes, in a fortified place, taking Asrita, taking shelter of Durga, the fort. He's comparing household life to a fort here, where a fort is required to, if strong enemies are attacking, one goes to a fort and closes the doors and stays on the walls, and one is able to withhold the attack of very strong enemies from within a fort. So he's comparing Griheshu, household of life, to Durga Asrita here. Having taken shelter of the fort of household of life for the purpose of conquering these very strong enemies, lust, anger, greed, matsarja, loba, etc. come quote Loba Matsoja. So, as the verse continues, so Chineshu, we said, decrease. So the enemies are decreased. Kamam, lusty desires. Vicharet, can go. So one can go inside the fort of household of life, he's explaining, to decrease the lusty desires and the other enemies. And then the final word in this verse, vipaschit, the most experienced learned. So this is the conclusion of those who are learned. So these are instructions on a specific level. Now here is Srila Prabhupada's translation. Please listen carefully. One who is situated in household life and who systematically conquers his mind and five sense organs is like a king in his fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. After one has been trained in household life and his lusty desires decreased, he can move anywhere without danger. So we'll repeat the verse now, and then I'm going to ask that very important question, what do you remember? And then we'll read the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport, and I will ask that same question. So first we'll repeat the verse. One who is situated in household life and who systematically conquers his mind and five sense organs is like a king in his fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. After one has been trained in household life and his lusty desires have decreased, he can move anywhere without danger. Okay, what do you remember? Please raise your hand. Hari Ram Prabhu, thank you. Just one point, though. One can decrease one's lusty desires and then move anywhere without danger. So here the hint is of what the purpose of household life is. It is to decrease one's material involvement, not to increase, but to decrease. Thank you, Pooh. Anyone else remember anything from the verse? Yes? But just specifically from the verse. Anyone remember anything from the verse? Yes, Paul. Yes, exactly. After one has been trained in household of life. So household of life is the training for the purpose of decreasing one's physical, mental involvement in material sense enjoyment. You forgot to raise your hand. Now we have a special corner for those who don't raise their hands. But yes, Prabhu, I'm sorry. Raise your hand. Thank you. I can't help it. One who conquers his mind and senses, He is like a king in his fort. The next verse will explain it on a little bit of a different level, but it is like a king in his fort. Because when the king is in his fort, he's well protected. So many important instructions about household life in here. Thank you. Now we shall read Srila Prabhupada's purport. Please listen carefully And I'm going to ask, what do you remember after? It is not a long purport. The Vedic system of four varnas and four ashramas, and I got a glimpse of Krishna's expert arrangement from this purport for the speaker, and also to his sense of humor also. The Vedic system of four varnas and four ashramas is very scientific, and its entire purpose is to enable one to control the senses. Before entering householder life, Grihastha Ashram, a student is fully trained to become Jitendriya. That was your point. Fully trained to become Jitendriya, a conqueror of his senses. Such a mature student is allowed to become a householder, and because he was first trained in conquering his senses, he retires from household life and becomes a vanaprastha as soon as the strong waves of youthful life are past and he reaches the verge of old age at 50 years or slightly more. So I'm 67 almost. So Krishna is so kind to make these words of Srila Prabhupada's come from my mouth into my own ears. Without Jagatwini Mataji here, even. Then, after being further trained, he accepts sannyas. He is then a fully learned and renounced person who can move anywhere and everywhere without fear of being captivated by material desires. The senses are considered very powerful enemies. As a king in a strong fortress can conquer powerful enemies, so a grihastha in Grihastha Ashram, a householder in Grihastha Ashram, householder life, can conquer the lusty desires of youth and be very secure when he takes vanaprastha and sannyas. What do you remember? Please raise your hand. In the Vedic system, thank you very much. In the Vedic system, the four varnas and the four ashrams are scientifically organized to train us to control our minds, our senses, of course, and then the minds. Because one cannot control the senses without controlling the mind. And one cannot control the mind without controlling the senses. Thank you. Anyone else raise your hand, please? Let me just see if this... Please raise your hand if you remember something, even if it is... Yes, Prabhu. Loudly. A devotee or someone entering the household ashram in the vanashrama system should be trained in brahmacharya before entering householder life. And what is that training in brahmacharya? What is the brahmacharya training? And what's the control of the senses? And how do you control the senses? To control the mind. And how do you control the mind when you're a student? Fully engaged, but how does one become fully engaged? What's one step before full engagement? Exactly the point I was thinking. Obedience. Obedience. Because the last thing a conditioned soul wants to do is be obedient. He sees the world as a realm, a sphere, a chetra, a field of enjoyment. This is the mentality of a conditioned soul. He sees, I am my body, and everything I see is meant for my pleasure. And especially when the senses are strong in one's youth, this is so dominant in the consciousness. And therefore, youthfulness is the time not for enjoyment, as is said in contemporary so-called civilization, not the time to allow one's senses to go wild physically, on the internet, walking through all the malls of the world. It is not the time. Youth is not the time for that. This is the strict... So because it's scientific, the Vanashrama system is scientific. That means that it's controlled and meant to achieve a specific purpose. And that purpose is to develop one's love for Krishna, prema pumarto mahan. So in brahmachari life, before one becomes self-controlled, in other words, one's intelligence becomes the controller of the mind, before one can reach that stage where one intelligence controls the mind, one goes through the stage of complete obedience to the teachers, spiritual master, Gurukul. And then gradually that obedience, subservience to the teachers becomes transferred to the authority of the teachers, becomes transferred to the authority of one's intelligence. And that is training. Gradually the authority of obedience, the obedience to one's authority becomes transferred to the persons who are right in front of us, or at that time were so much bigger than us, the kind-hearted teachers and the guru, is transferred to one's own intelligence. And then one can go anywhere in the world because one has the authority of one's intelligence. And what is the intelligence trained to be subservient to? What's the intelligence trained to be subservient to? The Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, Shastra, the books. And the teachers instruct on the basis of the holy books. I am not saying, Prabhupada would say. This is what Shastra says. Prabhupada would even say that the strongest statements, this one's a rascal, this one's a rascal, this one's a rascal. Sometimes he would say, I know these are strong words. They are all rascals. But I am not saying. This is what Krishna is saying. This is what Shastra is saying. He was showing his obedience and subservience, that his intelligence was not his own intelligence. Intelligence means the point of discrimination. How do I decide what is good, what is bad, what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is over there when I cannot see it? It is through intelligence. So this is called Shastra. Seeing through the eyes of Shastra, coming through one's intelligence. Na deki taramurti, to not see the specific forms, external forms of matter, but to see Ishta Deva Spurti, to see Krishna and Krishna's presence. everywhere and everything, as Shastra explains. And not in an impersonal way, but in the most personal way. Does anyone remember anything else from the purport? From Srila Prabhupada's purport? Just for... Yes, so one, let me just... So brahmachari life is the training for grihastha life, and grihastha life is the training for vanaprastha and onto sannyas life. Yes? So this is scientific. And what is sannyas life? What is the training of sannyas life? Paratmanishtam. Complete dependence on Krishna. And then one can go anywhere, everywhere. So each ashram has its challenges and its gifts and a point of training and a point of achievement. And what's the benefit of being completely dependent on Krishna at every time and every circumstance? What's the benefit? Because I would like to, because you ask a question and then people think. What's the benefit of being completely trained and dependent on Krishna every time and circumstance? I mean, what would your life be like if you were completely Krishna conscious? Huh? Fearless, Abhay Charan. Srila Prabhupada, were you with Srila Prabhupada when he was walking by in Calcutta? That time when he saw the Victoria, the devotees with Prabhupada saw the Victoria Memorial? And were you there with Prabhupada and someone, and Prabhupada said that he was, when he was young, they were building it and there was scaffolding around it. And when he was young, he climbed up to the top of it. And one of the... Were you there? Possibly. Could you tell the story? Please. Okay. And so the devotee said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you were fearless because it is so high." And Prabhupada replied, "I still am fearless. Otherwise, how could I have gone to your country alone? No support, no scaffolding. Just dependence on Krishna." And then, what happens when one depends on Krishna fully? And this is what Priyavrata ultimately was asking, and we're moving to that point. He said, if I take up this service, and it's, could I get myself into more difficulty by taking up the service and lose my spiritual life? If I'm completely depending on Krishna, can I be placed in a situation where I'm lost? Now how, if I say yes to that, or I say no, or if I say no, Krishna will always protect you. So you'll listen to me saying it, and it will enter a certain part of your consciousness, and according to the depth of my own realization, that words that no, Krishna will always protect you, he promises it, name bhakta panashyati. According to the speaker's own depth, that the words will enter into your consciousness to one degree or another, and according to, of course, your receptivity. But if you personally are serving Krishna and you see Krishna at every step is caring for you, That knowledge will be yours. It will be realization. So that is life's purpose. Because at the time of death, what external aids, what support, or what things will I have that will give me the faith and the security and the fearlessness to hold tightly with my full consciousness to Krishna's lotus feet? What will I have? All the things that I rely on in my life, external things, to influence the world so I get what I want, so my path becomes smooth and simple and as effortless as I can make it. I use my intelligence, I use my cleverness, I use my influence, I use my beauty. We use our senses, we use our bodies, we use our intelligence, we use our credit cards, we use our the people we know, we use what money we have, we use our friends, we use our family to lean on, to help us move forward when in difficulty. But when we're dying, when the soul is leaving the body, which of those external supports will actually give us the shelter that we need, that we require to hold on to Krishna, his lotus feet? Because the time of death is the most difficult of all times. Obviously, it's the most difficult of all times. And we live our life forgetting that it's going to, that our day, as one famous entrepreneur, American business computer entrepreneur said, if you live your life as if this day may be your last day in this world, one day you're going to be correct. That's for everyone, not only me, but everyone, from the youngest to the oldest. So life, because there's no consciousness of this when one is younger, and the power of illusion, Maya, is so strong, there is such a tendency to push this away, this thought that I'm going to die, to push it to the background of the consciousness. We don't like this thought in our consciousness. So therefore, and the culture, the Western culture especially, is designed to make us forget that we're going to die. It's designed to make us think that, to consume, to enjoy. But the Vedic culture, the Vanashrama culture, is exactly the opposite. It is designed to have us live our life in such a way that it scientifically trains us to the point of complete dependence on Krishna and Antya Narayana Smriti, to remember Krishna. Because Adishtayam Manastrayam Visha Upasevate, whatever fills Sadatat Bhava Bharata, whatever fills our consciousness at the time when we are leaving this world, we will go there. Very scientific. Now I'm going. Does anyone remember anything else from the purport? Because it was so long ago I read it. It's hard to remember. So therefore, I will read it again. Please listen carefully, and I will ask the same question again. The Vedic system, these are Srila Prabhupada's words, his instructions to us. The Vedic system of four varnas and four ashramas is very scientific, and its entire purpose is to enable one to control the senses. Before entering householder life, grihastha ashram, A student is fully trained to become Jitendriya. What does Jitendriya mean? Conquer over the senses. Such a mature student is allowed to become a householder because he was first trained to trained in conquering his senses. Excuse me. Because he was first trained in conquering his senses, he retires from household life and becomes vanaprastha as soon as the strong waves of youthful life are past and he reaches the verge of old age at 50 years or slightly more. The strong waves of youthful life. Now why has Prabhupada used the words the strong waves of youthful life? Now what are the specific characteristics of waves, especially by the ocean? Raise your hands. What's the characteristic of a wave? Not this kind of a wave.
Hari Bol, Prabhu.
Yes, good, thank you. It goes up and down, yes. Characteristic of a wave. They keep coming. They are relentless. The waves keep coming again and again. Sometimes the waves are huge, and sometimes they are smaller, but they are continuous. So especially in youthful life, the waves of one's sense desires are sometimes stronger, sometimes weaker, but they are relentless. And therefore, one needs that training. Then, after being further trained in vanaprastha life, what is the training of vanaprastha life? Okay, but what is the specific training and challenge in vanaprastha life as described in the seventh canto in the end of the chapters and also in the 11th canto? What is the specific training? So in brahmachari life, the training is obedience and sense control, mind control, and household life, very much to conquer those enemies and to become detached. And in vanaprastha life, what is the training? Detachment from family life, but detachment from one's material body, tapasya. I don't care. Performing such, the way, when you read this in the Bhagavatam, it is frightening what vanaprasthas have to do. It is the austerities they perform. The way they dress, the way they eat only the leaves that fall from the trees after they've fallen, dry leaves without spices, no chili. That not possible for those born in Bharatvarsh, especially in some places. Complete austerity, letting the fingernails and the hair and the beard grow and the itchy and not bathing and wearing tree bark, itchy. I don't care. In the summer, surrounding oneself by fire and all the directions in the summer heat, I don't care. How strong your mental control has to be to perform austerities. The austerities aren't really on the physical platform, they're on the mental platform because one's mind rebels and says, I will not do this anymore. And then the purpose of that, when one's mind is controlled, is to completely depend on Krishna, the sannyasa ashram. Because one has to be able to control one's mind then to depend completely on Krishna. Because one will be in the most fearful conditions, and the mind in fear. It's not like you can just think, oh, right now I think that Krishna should protect me right now. No, it doesn't go through the intelligence in great fear. Just the mind reacts in such an intense way. And one has to be so practiced to depend on Krishna. And then the body, it's falling. You can't breathe. The heart, everything that we take for granted in life, our very body, the fact that I can move, I want to move my hand and it goes up. I want to move my elbow, it goes up. We take these things for granted as if it's automatic, as if it's automatically coming. But it's actually only coming by Krishna's mercy. The most complex arrangements are there to make the simplest things that we take for granted occur. To go like this, it takes so many muscles. And then you ask the question, my desire is to move my hand, but what connects my desire, which is just a thought, to the muscles? What connects? What is the connection between my thought and the muscles that make my hand go up? We do it so automatically. We take it completely for granted. There's the mechanical system, but then who has put this mechanical system together by chance? And you just mentioned something like that before Prabhupada, and the word rascal would immediately come from his mouth. It's by chance? By chance? This most complex arrangement? Incredibly complex. It's been organized by chance? When you organize something by chance, you get the traffic in Pune. And if you've ever been to Pune, it makes Delhi traffic look organized. Nothing against Marathis. Is that true, Prabhu? The traffic in Pune is number one as far as I've seen. So this is all going on, and when your body can't move, and the desire may be still there, nothing is working. Everything you take for granted, everything you depend on, and you can't breathe, and pain, and you're helpless, and you're terrified. One has to be very practiced, and then at that time, one needs the help of Krishna. And at that time, one needs the help of Krishna's devotees more than anything else. And therefore, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, at the end, in Srila Prabhupada's purport describing Prakrit Maharaj's condition, he said, when Sukadev came, when the great devotee came, that this is especially to be seen when the devotees come at the time when we are leaving this world. It is especially seen to be recognized as Krishna's special mercy, his special kindness. This is how Krishna's kindness comes to us. Okay. The next verse and purport really get to the point. And it is a wonderful verse and purport. Maybe if it's not. It is so, so wonderful, and Prabhupada, he explains it in such a practical way. Everything in such a practical way. Okay, but I will end here. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments for another 5 minutes, and then we will end completely. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. I'll repeat.
Why is my ingress household life? What does that exactly mean?
Good question. That if someone is jatendriya, can control his senses, then he is allowed to enter household life. But if he is jatendriya, why would he enter household life? Yes? So one reason is his mother is like yes or no? Sometimes it is like that. Sometimes dutiful. Sometimes his mind not be fully controlled. Maybe his mind isn't fully controlled. Sometimes circumstantially, sometimes even for service it may happen. Like in the case of Priyavrata, sometimes there's perhaps different degrees of being able to control the senses and mind. So that's how I would answer that question. But maybe there's different degrees. It's not either controlled or not controlled. There's so much gray area between. There's different degrees. The only way to fully control the mind is one's mind is fully absorbed in loving thoughts of Krishna. That is the only full control over the mind and the senses. When one's senses are fully engaged in Krishna's service due to spontaneous, natural, loving attraction. So there are varying degrees. And sometimes the teachers, they see the person's capacity and what his nature is and may have a different recommendation for him. Is that all right? Any other questions? Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Must look at you.
Hare, speak your Christian his name.
Hare Krishna.
Somebody there. You just keep quiet, please.
Mataji, I can't hear you. You are very Kamal. The microphone. It's one second, yes.
You mentioned in the class that Vanaprastha is to develop detachment from the body and circling with the fire in the hot sun. Detachment from the body is, I understood, but I couldn't understand. Tolerating the sunlight, the cold is all right, but in the middle of the hot sun, by adding the fire around, why do we, kind of...
What's the need?
Means respecting the body given by Krishna, respecting the body given by Krishna, and maintaining the rules which the body needs to follow. But this I felt like, why to add the torture to develop detachment?
Yes. So the question is clear. Why go to such extreme methods? Because this is a gradual process. And it's not specifically and only based on Krishna bhakti. It's developing by stages detachment. So the Vaishnavas, what to speak of at this particular age when no one has the capacity to do these type of austerities. These are not recommended. Things like this have to be adjusted to make it practical for this age. So it is inconceivable for us to even think like this. If one is using one's body in Krishna's service, then one cares for one's body just as one would care for anything that belongs to one's beloved. But because we tend, in my stage, or I will tend to mix my own attachment to my body, for example, with the philosophy of it's meant for use to be used in Krishna's service, more detachment is actually required. And why is more detachment required? Is because one day my body is going to drop and I'm going to die. Rather, the body is going to... I'm looking for the right words because something has to be alive to die. So I can't use the word the body is going to die because there's no life that the body has independently of the soul. The body is going to drop one day, and to the degree I'm attached to it, to the degree I will be tortured by the thought and the factual occurrence of the body dropping. So true detachment is required. So what's practical for this age is not that, but true detachment is required. In the Vanashrama system, where it was scientifically organized, so complete detachment would actually occur. I'm not sure if that gets to the exact heart of your question. But Matiji, you don't have to do that. Don't worry. Living in Govardhan or living in Varshana is warm enough. And then, sometimes the kings, when they would do this vanaprastha, they would go with their wives. And we read about this in the Bhagavatam. And the pain, when the husband would die, the pain of the wife would be worse than the fire. And they would go into the fire. She would make the fire to burn what remains of the body and then go into it because it would be more painful for her. So that would mean there was so much detachment, but some attachment was still there. So very mysterious, this type of consciousness of these exalted personalities, personages. Okay, last question, if there is a last question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Is it necessary for the...
Akashvani. Oh, Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Is it necessary for the Vanaprastha to change his dress to saffron?
You mean the Mataji or a Pitaji?
The Pitaji.
But first you have to answer my question before I attempt to answer your question.
No, is it necessary for the Prabhu to change to saffron dress when he's in the Vanaprastha ashram?
You mean within ISKCON, within Srila Prabhupada's movement?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, it's not very well established, the Vanaprastha, because during Prabhupada's time, everyone was like 20 years old, 30 years old. So it never really came up. In the Bhagavatam, it says that a Vanaprastha should wear fire-colored cloth, if I'm not mistaken, which is like saffron. But the way I look at it is, personally, is... One of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, described in the 12th canto, is that everything would be judged externally by the external symptoms only. So although the wearing of fire-colored cloth or saffron is prescribed perhaps in the Bhagavatam, the real essential point is the internal point.
Thank you.
Is that one should become detached, because detachment from the body is required to depend fully on Krishna. So let us hold tightly the essential points, because in Kali Yuga one can't even perform the externals fully. And instead of saying, oh, he says he's a vanaprastha, he's not wearing saffron, blah, 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 making it into some type of a food for gramyakata, let's capture the essence and hold tightly to it. It's the safest. And the externals are meant to support the internals anyway. So not that the externals aren't important, but because this one specifically hasn't been defined by Srila Prabhupada clearly or in ISKCON, there's no statures or about it, then let's hold on to the internal of detachment as the essential point. Thank you very much. Very good question, though. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sisi Gonatai ki jai, Sisi Krishna Balaram ki jai, Sisi Radha Sama Sunda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktavinda ki jai, Nitai Gopinandaya.